Greetings, people loved by God. Welcome everybody to worship on this, the 20th weekend after Pentecost. Whether you're worshiping here in the building tonight or whether you're going to be worshiping online or through the radio on KFUO AM, welcome everybody to worship. For those who are listening or watching online, the bulletin for this service can be found on the resources tab on our homepage of the website, which is chapelofthecross.org. You may also give your offering to the Lord and His church there. There's a give tab there that you can click and just follow the instructions there, or you can just mail your offering into the church office. The radio broadcast today is sponsored by Nancy Sobota in thanks and praise to God for blessings received. I have just a couple of announcements to share with you before we begin to worship. Next Sunday, October 25th, we will once again hold worship outdoors for our 8:30 and our 11 o'clock services. That's very much weather permitting. I know we're getting to the time of the year when that morning can be very, very cold or rainy. So we'll keep our eye on the forecast. And if it's not raining and if it's warm enough, we're going to be outside. Otherwise, we will be here indoors. The Saturday evening worship at 5 p.m. on the 24th of October will be held here in the sanctuary, regardless of the weather outside. If you look at the Chapel Weekly this weekend, there are several thank yous there that are listed, but I want to kind of draw your attention to one in particular. Since we have opened up back for worship back in, I think it was early June we started back again, we've had a wonderful group of dedicated volunteer servants who clean and disinfect the sanctuary and other public areas here in the church between all the worship services. Their names are all listed there in the weekly, and if you see one of those folks, please tell them thank you. Their work and their service is greatly appreciated. May God bless you as we worship this day. We begin worship by listening to our opening hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, hymn number 802 in Lutheran Service Book. We stand. We begin our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. Sisters and brothers in Christ, as children of God, our hope is in the Lord. Yet in the weakness of our sinful flesh, we turn away from the Lord and put our hope in ourselves and in the things of this world. Let us think about the false hopes to which we sometimes cling and confess our sins to our Heavenly Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we have often turned away from you and sinned against you in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions. We have trusted in ourselves, in the things of this world which have no true value, and we have trusted other people whose sin makes them untrustworthy. All these things lead us to hopelessness and despair. Forgive our sins, we pray, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and create clean hearts within us. With the Lord there is forgiveness. As a called and ordained servant of the word and by the command and promise of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks be to God. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. O God, as there is no other like you, help us to give to you the things that are yours, that we serve only you. Govern all things in this world so your church will serve you with conviction and confidence and peace, and that faith, hope, and love be known and shown in our earthly journeys as your kingdom comes. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading appointed for this day is from the 45th chapter of Isaiah. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of to subdue nations before him, and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honor, though you do not acknowledge me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men may know there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Me.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know you are a man of integrity, and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us, then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used to pay the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose portrait is this, and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God, what is God's? When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Together we confess our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.
Grace, mercy, and peace from our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ, our true Messiah and ruler. Our message is from our gospel reading of Matthew, the 22nd chapter. I would like to refresh us on verses 18 through 22. But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image is this? And whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, so give back to Caesar, sir, what is Caesar's, and to God, what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. We live in politically charged times today. It's hard to know who to listen to. At both extremes of the spectrum, people are yelling at the top of their lungs that their ideas are the best ideas for the country. and those are just as citizens. As is in an election year, we also have to endure countless advertisements of politicians that promise us everything will be just peachy if they are in charge. So if we put the right person in office, will everything be all right? Is everything going to be okay? Well, that depends on who you think is in charge. And in our message today, Jesus sets everyone straight as to who that is. Jesus knows that in this particular week, the Pharisees are really, really tired of Jesus. At every step, he has thwarted them. He's turned their words against him. And they cannot wait for an excuse to arrest Jesus. But the problem is, the Pharisees are afraid of the crowds. And so, after thinking about it a bit, they've come up with the perfect trap. They send the Herodians and the Pharisees with the question that they think will not have a decisive answer. And so, they pose him the question. And it does look like they have it. If Jesus answers, pay the tax, the Pharisees will turn to people against him because it seems like he's promoting Rome. But if he says, don't pay the taxes, the Herodians most certainly will either turn him into Herod or to Pontius Pilate. So if it was us, we'd have fell in the trap. We'd have thought we had to answer one way or the other. But this is no ordinary saint sinner. This is God's own son. And he knows their hearts. Jesus knows these men are not coming to him with a pure heart. He knows their flattery is a sham. Instead of indulging them, Jesus asked them a simple question. After getting the denarius, Jesus asked them, whose picture is on the coin? And when they answer Caesar, and Jesus tells them to give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's, they don't have an answer for him. So they go away to plot another trap. But they missed the message that Jesus was trying to tell them. And if only their hearts had been able to open, they would have heard it. They missed the main point about Caesar. Does Caesar own anything that doesn't belong to God? And this is a hidden message to both the Herodians and the Pharisees. The psalmist in Psalm 95 tells us exactly who owns everything. For the Lord God is a great God, the great King above all gods, and his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry lands. First of all, Caesar doesn't even own the denarius that pays the tax. Just like the tenants in the vineyard are the wicked tenants, the vineyard belongs to God. Jesus' enemies are so busy trying to trap Jesus, they miss the message. That hidden question. Does Caesar own anything that doesn't belong to God? When Jesus tells his would-be trappers, therefore render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's and to God the things which are God's, Jesus is acknowledging two points. The first point is, God has sanctioned all governments. But Jesus' second point is even more important to us today in that our Lord tells us,
Don't be confused with what belongs to Caesar. So what do we owe to Caesar? Well, we should obey his laws. That includes those of us who like to speed. That includes like stopping for a stop sign, even when nobody's there. We vote, we pay our taxes. In short, we do our civic duties. That's what Caesar gets. This doesn't define us as who we are as Christians, although our faith should guide us in the things we do, just like they guide us in our daily lives and our vocations. We should honor whom the Creator has placed in our lives. And while God institutes governments, he did not place them here as a means of grace for us. We honor our Caesars because they, like us, belong to God. They're his means on earth. And he uses them as he sees fit, just as he uses us for his purposes. God does not promise that this will be easy, for it is recorded in the epistle of Peter. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Bear in mind, writing, honor the emperor for Peter, this is the equivalent to telling a Southern rebel at the end of the Civil War to honor President Lincoln, or Luke Skywalker telling the rebellion to honor Emperor Palpatine, or Bernie Sanders supporters to honor President Trump. You get the picture? One of the hardest things about being a saint and sinner is waiting for the Nile, the now, but not yet. That wedding feast that our Savior spoke about in our gospel last week. Our existence does not rest with the government. It rests in the grace that God has given us through Christ, through his death and resurrection. And the answer to the question, does Caesar own anything that does not belong to God? Absolutely not, including the very money that Caesar prints from things that were made in God's creation. Looking back at the past parables that precede this gospel story, who does the vineyard belong to? Who gave the permission to the tenants to use the vineyard? Whose servants went and checked on the tenants and were beaten? And whose son did the tenants kill in an attempt to gain the vineyards? The owner of the vineyard, of course, is our God, our Father, and our Creator. Which son does our Heavenly Father want us to be like? The son who gives lip service that is all show and no action? Or the son whose actions actually do speak louder than his words? Should we try to show up to the king and his son's feast with the dirty clothes that we've traveled in? Are we good enough just the way we are? Or do we want to take the baptism-soaked garment that our Father has provided for us through faith in the Holy Spirit? We do not need to look for Caesar for the answer because we have an answer from the best authority, our Savior. Jesus is telling us that Caesar, for all of his perceived power, is only there as long as God allows him to be. The governments of this world are temporal. The kingdom that our Father desires all tribes and every nation to be part of is his eternal kingdom. What God wants from us is our faith and his love and love for him above all things. We do this by trusting in his judgment that he knows what is best for us, even when we sometimes can't see his purpose. We give God what is his when we share his word and sacrament together. We give God what is his when we share his word with others. We give God what is his when we are good stewards of his creation, because we are only tenants here. We give God what is his when we love our neighbors as ourselves by actually showing our neighbors love. The government and laws are important for us because they give us an orderly society. Caesar is part of God's indirect work. here on earth. But if we have learned anything about laws, laws do not change hearts. The good news of the gospel that Jesus suffered and died on a cross and rose again on Easter morning, giving us forgiveness through grace, the grace of God, and not Caesar, is what gives us our eternal life and is what changes people's hearts. Our Savior did not give the Great Commission to a government, not to a single government on earth. He did give his Great Commission to us, sinners and saints, with this command: therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's go and work on our commission and leave Caesar to do his own work. Amen.
We stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty and eternal Father, you sent your Son into our flesh in order to make us one with you. Bless the church's proclamation of this good news so that we may declare your glory to all nations and your wonders to all people. We ask that you especially bless the mission and the ministry of our partner Lutheran Church in Kenya, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya, and our president, the Reverend Joseph Okala Omalo. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you alone are King. Yet we live in a nation where we owe allegiance to the country, state, and all those in authority over us. Make us good citizens that we may serve our country by supporting and giving appropriate honor and respect to our rulers, lawmakers, and judges. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Lord, protect the defenseless, uphold the helpless, and comfort the distraught. Move us to share from our blessings with those who struggle even to provide for their basic needs. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are injured, those dealing with special challenges, the homebound, the unemployed, and those who are grieving the death of a loved one this day. We especially remember the family and loved ones of Sam Johnson, who died in the Lord this past Tuesday. Be their support and the support of all who are in need, and give your comfort to those who are burdened. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of life, visit with your almighty power all who are sick or in need of medical care. Today, we especially remember Kim Fears as she recovers from illness. Place your healing hand upon her and all who are sick or infirm, and give them courage in their afflictions. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. You may be seated. We now take and eat the very body of Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of your sin. And take and drink the very blood of Christ, shed for you and for many on the cross, for the forgiveness of all of your sin. We stand. Now may this eating and drinking keep and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Go in the Lord's peace and in his joy. Amen. We pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us in, with, and under bread and wine with the body and blood of your dear Son. Strengthen our faith in you and in our love for others in your kingdom and throughout our community, country, and world. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. We remain standing as we sing our closing hymn together, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Thank you.
Thank you.